True that the signs of the times are everywhere and there's something in the air. And that storm last night just passed by our house. And that's the key word, passed by. Thank the Lord. We are in a time where we need to get down to the basics and understand how we are going to live in the times we're in, how we can be successful Christians. And right now I want to pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many things happening and our ears are perking up and our hearts are pounding within us because of the anticipation of things to come. And soon the world's hearts will be failing them for fear, but we have nothing to fear. If we are walking close to you, Lord, we know that in the time of trouble you will deliver us, you will preserve our souls, and we will have your mark in our forehead, the seal of the living God. Now we ask, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I've chosen for a title, An Answer to Prayer. And the theme of today's Sabbath School lesson, of course, was faith. And we need faith. We need living faith. Any other kind of faith is fake faith. We want the real thing. We need to have that faith, and that's a wonderful thing. But like anything, all these gifts and all these things that we're learning about, there's one key that will unlock the treasures of heaven, and that is prayer. We need to pray. We need to ask God for all the things that he has promised us. We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to have all these things just to be able to endure the times that we are in today. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And here's the second part of that. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is no time to be lazy in your experience with God. We need to get down to brass tacks. This is what we call the rubber meeting the road. You need to have all of God that you can get a hold of. We need Jesus. God has unlimited ability. And God anticipates our needs before we ask. And how does he do this? In Isaiah 65 and 24, it says, And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. We need to lay hold of these promises. We need to lay hold of what the scriptures are telling us and believe them and do them. Is there any limit to God's ability to help us? Ephesians 3 and 20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wonderful scriptures, wonderful promises, wonderful things, wonderful words, beautiful words. And how fully has God promised to supply our needs? He has. Philippians 4 and 19 says, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are you getting these this morning? If we can take time to listen and pray and ask God for the things we need, what miracles and what wonders and signs would be done by us as a group, as a church, if we will lay hold of these promises. We have a limited understanding Man has a limited understanding, but as the song says, it is no secret what God can do. Now, do we always know what to pray for? Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." When we have prayer, there is a long list of needs and wants and desires and longings and things that we have need of, and we voice them to the Lord. But we need to mix these prayers with faith, and we need to pray. Sometimes people have needs and they don't bother to ask God for them, and they don't get deliverance. You see, Asa was diseased in his feet. And God was aware that Asa was diseased in his feet. But Asa neglected to ask God for healing, and he died from whatever it was that was the matter with his feet. And I'm sure by reading the Bible in the context that God wanted to heal Asa, but Asa didn't ask him. So he let him die. And some of you might think, well, who am I? I mean, there's millions and billions of people on this earth. My problem seems so small. I can work it out. Mistake. You must involve God in every asset, every little part of your life. You need to have God there with you. That's what He's for. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Are you experiencing an abundant life in Christ today? I fear that we fall so short of the potential that we have. Now, does God always see fit to grant our petitions? Does He always say yes? Well, let's see what 2 Corinthians 12:8-9 says. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." That means three times. "That it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, I read a story in LifeGlow. That's the large print magazine that Christian Record puts out for the blind and the visually impaired. And there was a blind person telling a story of how often people came to her and said, "You poor thing, we should pray for you that you might receive your sight back again." And how many times she had to go through that process, well-meaning people believing that she should be prayed for, because there could be nothing worse, some people say, than to be blind and to go through life not being able to see. But this young lady had never seen. And she said, basically, "Leave me alone. Stop praying for me to be healed. Don't do that." She said, "Because I'm perfectly fine the way I am. All I am is blind." You know, some people have been prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, and there comes a time when you say, "All right, Lord, thy will be done." And some of these people are just joyous Christians, and I know they get a little bit weary of the next Christian coming along saying, "You know, we want to pray for you to be healed." When God is ready, He will act. And Paul besought Him three times because he had a problem with his eyesight. And he said, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." And so what the handicapped do is they adjust and they have an attitude that I will be the best that I can be under the circumstances that I am in, and I will be cheerful and thankful to God, and this is all one can do. Because as the afflictions come to us, the world is watching how we deal with these things. And if we act like they do to everything that comes our way, what witness have we? But sometimes we are allowed to go through sickness and disease and affliction and persecution and we must bear it patiently as Christ did. At this time of the year, we remember what Jesus went through on the cross and before the cross, and the endurance that he endured, and the mockings and the scourgings and the wounds and all the afflictions that he assumed and took upon himself so that we might be healed and that we might be saved. Jesus has provided a way through the wilderness. Jesus has provided a way for us to overcome all the afflictions and all the persecutions and all the challenges that come our way. And it's all wrapped up in him, and we must ask him by prayer, and we must ask him in faith, and we must ask and ask and ask and ask and continue to ask until he says yes, later, or no, and we must be able to accept graciously whatever his decision is. Would you not agree? We need to be a people of prayer. If an answer does not come at once, what should we do? Psalms 37. I hope some of you write these down because these will help you. Psalms 37 and 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Can you do that? Let's try it. Why was the parable of the importunate widow given? The one that kept coming to that unjust judge. Why was that so important for us to learn the lesson there? What was that lesson? Why is it so important? Again, the scriptures have the answer to that question. Luke 18 and 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never, never, never quit. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. It's important for us to be Christians before the world and show them how we live and how we deal with crisis. If we act like them, we have no witness to them. But we must take hold of ourselves and ask ourselves always, how would Jesus deal with this problem? What would his attitude be? And do it. Adopt the attitude of Jesus and put others before yourself. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. Now, how did Elijah pray before he obtained his requests? Well, James 5, 17 and 18 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Was Elijah or Elias a superman? No, because the beginning of that scripture says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was one like you and me. So what about his faith? How did he come by that? So how could he possibly believe that God would hear a prayer, stop the rain on the earth, and God would stop it for 3.5 years, and then say, okay, Lord, bring it on, and the Lord would bring it on? We think of these prophets and apostles like they were super people. But the Bible is very clear that they were ordinary people, just like you and me. Fishermen, tax collectors, harlots, prostitutes. Jesus said, we'll go into the kingdom of God before some of these self-righteous religious people. Why? Because they dare to lay hold on faith. Rahab put down the scarlet cord, and she hid the spies, and she became an ancestor of Jesus Christ. You can aspire to great things in the kingdom of God by faith, but you must earnestly go to God in prayer and not be lazy. Because this is a lazy generation. This is an apathetic generation. This is an ignorant generation that does not want to know and does not care. But we must know, and we must care, and we must be diligent unto prayer. That rhymes, but it's true. We must be diligent. We must pray unceasingly. You say, well, how do you do that? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. and keep your heart in tune. You can keep your heart in tune with God so that you could pray at any time at all and be in the attitude of that the Lord is present with you always and ready to listen to you and answer your prayers if need be. It can be done. It is not impossible. Now, Jesus was the fulfillment of the Lamb of God. When people had a problem, when people sinned, what they would do is they would bring a lamb in, and this is the Passover time, and each person would bring in their own lamb, and it was slaughtered for their sins. And it needed to be repeated year after year after year. Now, we have that was a type. Now we have Jesus, and whenever we sin, we can come to Him. We don't have to bring another lamb. We just have to claim the lamb that's been slain from the foundation of the world and ask Him to forgive our sins. Should we just pray one time and say, well, now I'm saved and that's it and I don't have to do anything else? No. And a lot of people believe that you just need to do that once and you're saved. And that is what the devil wants the world to believe. He wants them to fall asleep and do nothing. And it's a do-nothing Christianity out there. All it is, it wants to be entertained and does not want to get down to brass tacks with God and does not want to live for God and separate from the world, taste not, touch not, handle not the unclean thing. It just wants to revel in sin and believe they're saved. We cannot do that. We need to be earnest in prayer. And there are examples in the Bible as to answers to prayer. When Daniel and his followers were about to be slain because of the wise men of Babylon would not reveal to Nebuchadnezzar his dream, what did they do? They prayed. And Daniel 2:19 says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. We are not receiving instruction and help because we're not asking for instruction and help. We just want to be left alone. We don't want to get involved. Just leave it up to somebody else to do it. And so many bucks have been passed to other people. And it's not, the work is not being done because there are no laborers. The laborers are few, but the need is great. Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our loved ones are dying and destined to the lake of fire if we don't wake up and do something about it. One thing that every Christian can do is pray. And we are admonished to pray. When Peter was in prison and about to be executed by Herod, what did the church do? Acts 12:5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Do we have needs in the church today? How many people believe that the sick in our midst can be healed? How many believe that our loved ones can be saved? And what is it going to take to do these things? We need to pray unceasingly. Now, we have prayer warriors in this church, and they're praying, and they take the needs of the church, and they get together, and they pray over them. But each one of us as a Christian must pray unceasingly that these things might be taken care of by the Lord. And how were the prayers answered? In verse 7-10, it says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment upon thee, and follow me. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So Peter got out of prison, and you remember the rest of the story. He came to where the meeting was and knocked on the door, and they just didn't believe it, and they were still praying. They couldn't believe it. But that's just the way it is. But nevertheless, the church did pray unceasingly, and Peter was delivered. Now, another answer to prayer for an example here is Solomon. You remember that he asked for wisdom rather than for long life and riches. But what besides wisdom did God give him? Long life and riches. Behold, thou hast asked this thing, and behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And what was Jesus talking about there? You know, you have needs. Give us this day our daily bread, and all these other things that we need to pray for. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. The important things is to get right with God, to have your experience and your salvation and your the whole thing up to date every day. Do not let a day go by without asking God to forgive your sins of omission or commission, and have him wash you again in his precious blood. How often do you bath a week? I don't want to know. I'm just wanting you to think. Some of the people, it's very evident how many times they bath a week. But the thing is that you've got to continually get a bath. Continually wash. Continually groom yourself. Continually take care of those things that need taking care of. And it's the same with our Christian walk. We need to continually bathe ourselves in the blood of Jesus Christ. Continually keep our experience up to date. And in that way, you are in an attitude where God can talk to you when he needs to use you. Because you, and here's the other half of the equation, may be an answer to prayer. Did you ever think of yourself as an answer to prayer? Some people think of themselves as God's gift to the world, but that's not what I'm talking about. An answer to prayer. You see, here we have examples of answered prayers. All I've got this morning, I don't have sermon notes, I have scripture, 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 scripture. Because we need to be instructed out of God's word. For faith cometh by hearing, by hearing, by the word of God. So you need to hear the word of the Lord. But how can people be an answer to prayer? Well, Acts 10, Acts 11. Well, Acts 10, you see, verse 4, Cornelius is praying. And on the other end of the scale, in Acts 9 and 10, Peter's having a dream. And Peter is on this housetop having a dream, and that's where that famous sheet comes down with all those unclean animals. And while Cornelius is praying and Peter's in this trance having a dream, one of them is the answer to the other's prayers. But it is noted that Cornelius was always praying and always doing alms doing what he knew how to do. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He wanted to be saved. He wanted to understand what it was that God required of him. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And in Acts 10:31, the scripture says, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. And Peter was being told to go and see a man named Cornelius. So Peter was the answer to Cornelius' prayer. The same thing with Ananias in the book of Acts. Ananias was praying, and Saul, the persecutor, was blind and seeking God and praying as to what he was supposed to do. And the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, go and see this man called Saul and pray for him. And Ananias said, well, Lord, now you know he's been a persecutor. Go and pray for him. So you have two prayers, two praying people praying, and one is the answer to the other one's prayers. Each of them must be in cooperation with the Spirit of God, or no answer will come. Isn't that the truth? If you will continue in prayer and ask God to show you somebody you can help, to send you to or bring them to you, he will use you in a mighty way that you have never dreamed of if you would only do this. Because there are people out there that are lost, that don't know what to do, that want somebody to come and explain to them the way of salvation. And who is going to do it? One of us. So pray and stay in the attitude of prayer, and things marvelous will begin to happen. and you may be the answer to someone's prayer. We want God to answer prayer. And I've got a list of answered prayer here that you wouldn't believe. Just, you know, Cornelius, Peter prayed for Tabitha. You know, Dorcas, she was dead and he prayed for her. She came to life. Daniel prayed 3 times a day because he was told not to. And he continued as usual. And he was delivered out of the lion's den. Jonah prayed in the belly of the whale. And he was vomited up and went on with his mission. So even if we're unwilling, God has ways of reaching us. Even if it's in the belly of a fish. Sometimes he has to put you through some really strange things in order to get your attention. Jonah was an extreme thing. Abraham prayed for Abimelech. Because Abraham had lied to Abimelech and got Abimelech in a lot of trouble. Now Abraham first prayed for himself and asked God to forgive him for doing what he did. But he prayed for Abimelech and all his household were healed of all these terrible things that were coming on him because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Moses prayed because the people were disobedient and they were grumbling and complaining and a fire began to consume those all around about the camp. And he prayed for them and the fire stopped. Then they were murmuring and complaining about this and that and the other thing. And fiery serpents went in among them and bit them. And Moses prayed to the Lord and he told them what to do. And they were delivered again. They put up that serpent on the stick and prayed for them and they were healed. And he prayed for Aaron because Aaron was in trouble with the Lord. Moses prayed for Aaron. God wanted to, a couple of times, get rid of Aaron and wanted to kill him. And he got mad at Miriam too. And Moses prayed and God answered. People wanted a king and Samuel prayed about that. And God says, give them their king. That's what they want. Tell them what is going to happen when you get a king. But see, sometimes gives us what we ask for. And he knows it's better we didn't get it. But he gives it to us anyway because we need to learn a lesson. And so Israel soon found out that kings were not the answer. But the government of God is what we need. We need God to direct our ways. We need to be directed in our footsteps by God. And they were not satisfied with God leading them. They wanted a king. So sometimes God gives you what you ask for in spite of he doesn't want that. But he says, you're going to learn a lesson. Elisha prayed for a dead child, and it was raised to life. He prayed for his servant one time because the servant was worried about their armies that were coming upon, you know, and surrounding them. And he prayed, he said, oh, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And the armies of heaven were surrounding all their enemies. Hezekiah prayed that his people would be delivered from Sennacherib. And it came to pass. He then prayed for himself because he knew he was going to die. And God extended his life. And that evil son, Manasseh, that one that was produced in those 15 years of Hezekiah's extended life, was the most wicked king in the history of Judah. But when he was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, he prayed. Manasseh humbled himself and prayed and asked God to forgive him. And was sincere, and God delivered him, and Nebuchadnezzar sent him back home to reign over Israel. And the rest of Manasseh's days, he tried to straighten out the wrong that he had done, but it was too late. But Manasseh is an example of, no matter how bad you have been, no matter how wicked you've been all your life, there's still hope for you, and you can come to God and ask him to forgive you, and it's possible for you to be saved, and the end of your life, you can make it. There's no hopeless cases in here today. Each one of us, if we will just pray and ask God for whatever it is that we need, he will do it. We cannot be lazy. Oh, there are more. I've got going right down here to our time today. How many of you have asked for God to do things and he's answered your prayers? Over and over and over again, God has answered our prayers. And we sang in our Sabbath school lesson, Lillian said, sing a song that means something to you. And I sang, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. If we will only mix our faith with fervent, diligent prayer, what wonderful things will happen in our midst. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for the valleys that we walk through, because we know that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we fear no evil. You're the God of the mountaintop, you're the God of the valley, and everything in between. We can trust you, Lord, to deliver us from all our afflictions, to heal us from all our diseases, and to save our families as we turn them over to you in earnest, diligent prayer, all our needs, and confess our needs, and confess our faults one to another, that we may be healed. We know that you are faithful, Lord, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We know that you want only good and right things for us. And we also know that persecution will come to us if we live right in Christ Jesus, that whatever happened to you may just as well happen to us, and that we can expect it from any angle, and that our behavior during our trials will determine the future destiny of those that are watching us. If we can only win our neighbors, our friends, our families, our loved ones to you, it will be worth all the persecution, all the pain, all the affliction that we undergo in this short little life we have right now. Lord, we ask you to deliver our families and friends from evil, and we ask you that you lead us not into temptation. In Jesus' name, amen. And shall we sing, "Open my eyes that I may see"?